Welcome to Kingdom, a story by Ollie Francis. Episode 9, Blue Tongue. A hawthorn needs a cross-binding, signed Blue Tongue, as he and Snowtip made their way back home after the festivities at Farclaw's Citadel. They were following the ancient scent paths that fractured the bloodwood like spiderwebs, the guiding odours trodden deep into the soil itself by the passing of a thousand travellers before them. Blue Tongue was signing his words carefully, knowing Snowtip's night vision was not what it once was.
"Good,"
signed the mink, once the ermine had finished his answer.
"And how long should the binding be?"
"A paw's length, normally," replied Blue Tongue. Snowtip pipped his acceptance of the answer.
"Although," added Blue Tongue, "Hardtail's binding psalm says 3 paw's length can create a stronger graft under the right conditions."
"Really?" signed Snowtip. "And what exactly are the right conditions?"
Blue Tongue took a heartbeat to think through the psalm, dancing out the sign words in his mind before he shared them.
"Warm weather when it has been dry for several days," he summarised after a moment. "But the soil has to be well watered, and there shouldn't be any mushroom sporing when the graft is made. The cut to the rootstock should be made between 4 and 8 paws above the ground. The wet moss has to be fresh, either beetle moss or sweet clover, and soaked with urine, but the green mason giving its water should be well rested when that happens. Fasting for a day before is recommended, and the skin should be bound in the last heartbeats before dawn."
Snowtip slipped his way through the dead knot of a rhododendron stump, its limbs twisted like fire.
"The hardtail psalm," he sighed. "That's an applewood psalm. When did I teach you that?"
"Last winter," signed Blue Tongue, sending him an image of what had happened. Snowtip looked back blankly.
"You said I should know it," signed Blue Tongue. "It's supposed to be for softwoods, but I thought it might work with hawthorn as well."
"It could," signed Snowtip, thinking.
His forelegs fumbled through a shadow of psalms, the sign words half-formed and indistinct.
"Yes," he continued carefully, "that might have worked for the Brightwoods, if anyone had thought of it. It would have made the Applewood foxes feel a bit more at home if we'd used one of their own psalms to bind them. Yes, yes, that would have been a good idea."
Blue Tongue dipped his head, pleased to have impressed the old mink.
"You did well to remember," signed Snowtip. "Not even sure I could dance it myself now. Not entirely, anyway. If you don't dance these things regularly, then you start to forget."
They came to a small stream and crossed over, the water somehow even colder in the dark. It took them a few moments to find the scent path again on the other side before they could continue.
"Do you know any other applewood psalms?" asked Blue Tongue.
Snowtip chirped gently.
"I might have a couple," he sighed.
"There's Oakskin's Harvest. That's about the pruning of apples. Not much use for that in Highwood. Rigwort's psalm works better here. We're much higher up than Applewood.
There's also one about healing a tree after a lightning strike. Sarfor's Sorrow. Now, that's a good psalm. I've used that one myself, back before Greypaw started clearing out the river folk. There was a big storm, 2 summers ago, and the tree wall was hit near Shallow Roots Hollow. And the heart for that part of the tree wall, this young boar called, what was it? Rough Face? Rough Nose? No, Rough Tusk. Yes, Rough Tusk. He put me in charge of it. There was a burned stripe, like a blood mark, running all the way down the trunk. Nasty bit of damage it was. The thing was dying, and it could be decades before something could be grown to plug the gap. The whole of Highwood was at risk. So they gave me 4 green masons to see if we could save it first. 2 of them root smiths. They were good, but one of them always stank of garlic. I always thought it was strange because this rabbit could smell canker from halfway across Highwood. Turned out she could only sleep if she was surrounded by garlic. Otherwise she'd wake up every time a stray scent drifted through. Very sensitive snout."
The mink climbed over a pile of deadwood, half rotted and stinking of woodlouse.
We did good work on that beach, he continued. The damage was healed over in less than a moon, if I remember correctly. I couldn't smell a whiff of it. Smelled just like any other part of the tree wall. Yep, we did a good job there. I should have been made a heart for that. Have you ever been to Shallowroot?
Blue Tongue told him he had, but he couldn't remember seeing any beech tree hit by lightning.
There you go, signed Snowtip. Must have worked. Yes, Sarfor's Sorrow. That's a good psalm, that one.
Blue Tongue asked if the mink would teach it to him. Snowtip huffed as though unwilling to commit.
Most of it's the same as Flakefoot's healing, he sighed.
And Flakefoot would probably have been better than what I did in Shallowroot, now that I think about it. Highwood Psalms are Highwood trees, you know. Not sure I can remember all of it, to be honest.
Might be best to go to the Applewood Green Masons directly and see if they'll teach it to you. I hear the foxes brought a fair few with them.
They brought Green Masons across the Great Lands.
So I'm told, signed Snowtip. The Lord of Applewood's daughter dabbles in Green Masonry, so they're probably just trying to give her something to occupy her mind while she's here. Stop her from chewing her own legs off, if nothing else.
They stopped at a point where a troop of Highwood wolves had plunged across the scent path at some point in the last day or so. The undergrowth was ripe with their smell, blocking the hindmarked animal's progress so completely it might as well have been another tree wall stood in their way. The ermine and the mink took a few moments between themselves before they crossed over and refound the proper trail.
I knew the Applewood foxes brought their own herb rites, signed Blue Tongue, once they were far enough beyond the wolves' perfume that the path had become clear again.
I thought that was stupid, he signed. Even if Applewood herb rites are really good, they won't know the Highwood plants. Ashford thinks they'll just end up asking them where it grows all the time, and then she won't be able to get on with her real work.
And when were you last talking to Ashford? Asked Snowtip.
Oh, I see her here and there, signed the ermine. Snowtip stopped and stretched out his back. There was a quiver of pain as he arched and a murmur of complaint in his breathing.
I can get you more ginger, signed Blue Tongue.
Where have you been finding it all? Asked Snowtip.
The stuff you bought me last time is too big to be wild.
I found it by the river.
And why were you by the river?
I like to walk there, signed Blue Tongue. Snowtip shook out the strain from his back and rounded on Blue Tongue, blocking his path.
It's too cold by the river for ginger, he sighed. You need to build up a good heat rot to grow it anywhere north or southward.
Must have been lucky, signed Blue Tongue.
They have a heat rot system in the Shoulders Garden, signed Snowtip. They use Fallowfoot Psalm and dig mushroom compost into sheltered beds so the earth steams right the way through winter.
Remarkable, signed Blue Tongue, trying to slip past.
Ashfoot works in those gardens, doesn't she? And Red Spot as well.
I don't know, signed Blue Tongue. I've never asked.
Snowtip snorted amusement. You're a bad liar, he sighed.
Well, stop asking so many questions then, signed Blue Tongue. They carried on like this, stopping and starting as they signed, until Snowtip began to tire. By this time the sky was already beginning to lighten, heralding the approaching dawn. The animals found a shallow hole among the roots of a blood-marked oak, where the ground smelled of centipede and bluebell leaf, and they curled up there together, fur to fur within the earth.
I'm glad we went to see the Brightwoods, sighed Blue Tongue once they'd settled into each other's warmth.
He waited a moment for Snowtip's reply, but the mink was already asleep. When they woke, it was already after midday, and the fragrance of the soil had changed from the dull cool of the night to the brighter cacophony of day, heady with the fuzz of earthworm and the pungent reek of busy mycelium. Snowtip had wanted to continue straight on towards the tree wall, but Blue Tongue had made his excuses, which Snowtip had accepted with little concern. They ate together and parted ways, and the ermine followed scent paths leading to the Yellow Dell clearing, arriving while the sun was still hot in the sky. The clearing was lurid with wildflower. A frontier of archangel and dead nettle fought back the dust of bracken tumbling from the deep forest, and further there was a swelling of alkanet rising to the bright spring sky, the air above the piercing blue flowers a storm of orange-tip butterflies. Blue Tongue found himself a spot beneath a blood-marked hydrangea on the edge of the clearing, and harvested one or two of the blood fruit from the lower branches, burying the bone-like cores respectfully after he had finished with them. With his belly temporarily satisfied, he lay in the shade of the huge serrated leaves and waited. Soon there was a brushing of movement from the clearing. Blue Tongue listened carefully, then moved to the edge of his hidden space and tasted the air. Recognizing the scent he found there, he emerged from the hydrangea and bounced over to the trembling flowers of a burst of feverfew. A squirrel stood amongst the stems, selecting blossoms from the spray. Her rear leg was almost white in comparison with the rich grey of her body, her blood mark so tattered that only one side of the three horns' hoof remained on the creature's fur. Blue Tongue gave a friendly chirp to draw the squirrel's attention. Ashford looked over, but did not return his greeting. Her pale foot scratched at the earth impatiently. Her mouth was full of feverfew stems, her cheeks bulging uncomfortably.
"I'm busy," she sighed,
and turned back to her harvest. Blue Tongue hopped over to where he could be seen while she fussed among the daisy-like flowers.
"I take it the old badger's still having headaches," he sighed.
Ashford waved him away.
"Maybe I'm collecting for someone else," she sighed.
"Like who?"
"Don't bother me," she sighed. "I'm busy."
"You look tired," he returned.
"Oh, it's every day," she sighed,
sending him a picture of the shoulder of Evenside, head warped with pain in the darkness of his set.
"He used to take feverfew once in the evening," she explained. "Now he needs it every afternoon, and again in the evening, and then again before sleep. He's sending me out 3 times a day. That stupid thing at Farclaw Citadel last night only made things worse. You know he didn't return to Evenside until it was past midday. It's ridiculous. If the Applewood foxes want to get themselves a mark, then fine, but why all the fuss about it? It should be quick. Just go up, bow, and let the king put his hoof on you. Get on with it. Done in a few heartbeats. Next, move on. None of these fancy dances into the early hours. The shoulders have responsibilities. They can't be up through all the morning just because we have visitors."
She grabbed hold of a particularly long shoot and set to gnawing it into shorter pieces. Blue Tongue offered her his sympathy, sending her a vision of what it might be like once things had settled down a little. He tinted the image with a hint of ginger, as though he'd just been thinking about it accidentally. Ashford hummed sceptically, and placed down the stems she had been collecting, and began removing something from the pouch of her cheek. She placed a knobbled lump of root ginger down between the two of them.
"This is the last time," she sighed as Blue Tongue picked it up. "I got caught by Hawkbelly," she continued. "She says if she catches me again, then she'll take me to Blackheather."
Blue Tongue croaked a burp of confusion. "Who's Blackheather?" he sighed.
"Blackheather's the heart in charge of the hot garden," Ashford replied. "And Hawkbelly's the hog's backside who has me doing her foraging for the next 3 days, thanks to you."
The squirrel went back to selecting feverfew stems. Blue Tongue pulled down a few of the taller stems for her. "Sorry about that," he sighed.
"Yeah, well,"
sighed Ashford, adjusting the feverfew in her mouth with a free paw.
"It's fine. Hawkbelly's so slow I can do all her work in a half morning, and do it better than she does."
"You always were the best," sighed Blue Tongue.
"So, what are you doing with it?"
asked the squirrel, pointing to the ginger.
"This is the third lot I've bought you in the last moon."
"It's for Snowtip," sighed Blue Tongue.
"The mink? You still with him?"
"Yeah," sighed Blue Tongue. "He's still got a lot to teach me." Ashford cocked her head to one side uncertainly. A moment later, and she shook the unshared thought from her head.
"He must know a lot if you're still learning from him," she sighed. "How long have you been with him now? Must be since before the autumn."
"It was summer," sighed Blue Tongue. Ashford forced a final feverfew stem into her mouth and twisted away from the plant, dragging the bushel of protruding stems with her towards the forest edge.
"Thank you again for the ginger," sighed Blue Tongue with a paw against his mark. "It really helps."
"This is the last time, remember,"
she told him again, her sign words almost hidden behind the mass of stems she was hauling.
"I know,"
sighed Blue Tongue, gratefully, before quickly adding, "and give my blessing to Red Spot when you see him." Ashford froze where she stood. Slowly she removed a few of the stems from her mouth.
"Red Spot's dead,"
she sighed. Blue Tongue mirrored her sign words. "Dead?" Ashford touched her mark in response.
"How?"
he asked. The squirrel sighed and moved her paw across the dried patch of her own blood mark. Blue Tongue saw how loose it was on her fur,
Blood marks don't last forever,
she sighed. Blue Tongue lowered his head and whimpered sorrow for their dead friend. If Red Spot had somehow lost his mark, then he would have been beyond the law of the Bloodwood. His skin would no longer have protected him. Without a blood mark, he would not be a citizen. He would be prey to some other creature of the forest. Blue Tongue shivered to think of the red-backed squirrel torn by tooth and claw. He looked again at the remains of Ashfoot's blood mark, hanging there by the threads of a few hairs. What about you? He asked Blue Tongue. The squirrel shrugged away his concern.
Black Heather says he's put me forward for the next ritual, she sighed.
That's good, sighed Blue Tongue, piping a note hopefully. Snowtip and me got ours last moon.
Mine was supposed to be yesterday, she sighed.
For a heartbeat, Blue Tongue was back at the celebrations of the night before, the ceremony around the marking of the Applewood foxes, all the excitement and the festivities, the citadel throbbing with high-marked animals. There'd have been no time for lesser creatures. I'm sure your mark will last, he sighed.
Oh, it will, flushed Ashfoot. I'm keeping it dry, and I have some sugar sap to bind it to a few more hairs. It won't be a problem. And Black Heather's a good heart, and the shoulder listened to him, and it won't be long before I'm sent forward.
Blue Tongue touched his own mark in agreement, but a chill passed over him as he did. Red Spot dead? Ashfoot's mark almost worn away? He tested his own mark, gently. The sap was tough and whole, but for the first time he noticed how his fur had grown out a little since he'd received it. There was the smallest degree of flex to it, as though it hovered a hair's width over the skin rather than against it. I will remember Red Spot, he sighed.
Remember? How?
Sighed the squirrel.
He's got no songs. He was good, but he did nothing worth remembering.
I'll make a song for him, sighed Blue Tongue.
You are no songsmith, waved Ashfoot dismissively. Yeah, it's not an insult to be forgotten. Almost everyone who's ever lived has been. I don't make songs for worthless animals.
We're not worthless animals, sighed Blue Tongue. We matter. All of us. Every day of our lives is a song. Without us, the Bloodwood would grow wild. None of us are worthless.
You're not, sighed Ashfoot. You never were. There'll be psalms based on your green lore before long. Oh, don't be silly. You know it's true. You can't help it. You've always been like that. You're strange. You and that mink, both of you. There'll be something you'll do that'll change Green Masonry forever, and then we'll all be singing the Psalm of Blue Tongue or something like that. The rest of us? Nobody will hear our songs.
The gods will hear them, sighed Blue Tongue. The squirrel sighed nothing in return, but poked a few last feverfew stems back into her mouth. And I don't think I'm strange, added Blue Tongue. Ashfoot hopped a little closer and nestled into him a little before standing back to sign.
Say hello to Snowtop for me,
she signed with a gentle chirp of affection, and then she bounced away, the bouquet of feverfew tumbling alongside her, trailing scent like memory. Blue Tongue watched her go until she reached the tree line, where the bracken spread like feathers at the forest's edge. The white petals of the feverfew flashed once or twice among the green fronds, and then, like a star in daylight, she was gone. You've been listening to Kingdom, a story by Ollie Francis. To learn more, visit olliefrancis.co.uk, where you can discover how to support the project and influence where the story's going. Until then, may the gods always hear your song.